Well, it's nice to be back with you again and see you all once again. Can we turn this evening to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew 16 and verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. There shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Can we turn please to chapter 12? Chapter 12 and verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign. There shall be no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. For the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Final reading, Matthew chapter 24, and we'll break in at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. May God bless the reading of his word. Now this evening I think you can gather my thoughts about the signs in Matthew's Gospel. And you will see that we have read that the Lord Jesus was asked on two occasions for a sign. And you will see also that the Savior has to tell them that there will indeed be two signs, the sign of Jonah and the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. And so my thoughts this evening in the Gospel are concerning these signs. And you'll notice, first of all, we read chapter 16. I know it's out of chronological sequence, but I thought perhaps it fitted my purpose to read it first. And in chapter 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to the Lord Jesus asking for a sign. Now, it is remarkable when we read of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming together to ask for a sign, because they were mutual enemies. They were two groups of people of that day who did not see eye to eye on anything, but apparently they see eye to eye in this one thing, in their opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they come and they ask for a sign. It is remarkable in chapter 16 that they have come and asked for a sign, because by this time the Lord Jesus is in the middle of his public ministry. He has given them many demonstrations of his power. He has given them many examples the fact that he is altogether different. He has cleansed lepers. He has healed the blind. He has even raised the dead. They have seen the mighty work of God. They've marveled at the mighty power of God wrought through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet men come in unbelief and say to the Lord Jesus, "Give us a sign. Prove to us that you are who you say you are." We can only say about their question that this is not the question of someone who is sincerely desiring to know in order that they might believe on the Lord Jesus. This is a sign, this is the question of someone or persons who are deeply opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gives them an example from nature. And I'm sure we've all heard the saying, "The red sky at night is the sailor or the shepherd's delight." Well, it's amazing how men paraphrase something which is in the scriptures. Obviously, this was known for many years. It must have been known at the time of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps he couldn't explain the science of why you get a red sky at night when it's going to be good weather. And I'm not going to attempt to explain the science of it tonight. I'm not going to tie myself in not explaining that one. But there is science behind it, and it is true. And men have known that it's true. And the Lord Jesus says, "Well, you know that. You're very wise. You can look at the heavens and you can say that you can read what is going on in God's physical creation. But here, stood before them, is the very Creator himself. The one who made all things, the one who made this world." And they come to him and they say, "Give us a sign." It is interesting that the Lord Jesus says, "No sign shall be given." The Lord Jesus did not perform miracles for the benefit of unbelief. Herod, when he asked for a miracle, he saw a miracle. He saw the silence of Christ. The Lord Jesus did not do things. He did not lay hands on people. He did not heal people. in order to persuade them that he was who he said he was. He did it in order that they might have faith in him, that they might realize that the one who was saying to them that your sins are forgiven, that the life that you have now lived, you have been living up till now, has been dealt with. You have forgiveness of sins. He was demonstrating that he had the authority to do that. And so he says to them very simply in chapter 16, no sign shall be given except the sign of Jonah. Now as we come over to chapter 12, we read a little more about the sign of Jonah. This time it is the Pharisees and the lawyers who are asking. And they're asking that they might be shown a special sign. And the Lord Jesus says, no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. Remarkable, isn't it, to think of it, that Jonah's name is linked with the proof that the Lord Jesus is who he said he is. Remember Jonah, the man who was sent by God to preach a message commanding repentance to a city of wicked sinners, and yet he ran the other way. But God in grace is prepared to have the greatest proof that Christ is who he said he is linked to that feeble and faltering servant. It's interesting too that he is a man who, when God blessed his service, seemed to be most upset about it. But the sign of Jonah is used. And here the Lord Jesus explains what the sign of Jonah is. And he says this, that the sign, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You see, the sign of Jonah is a little picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel that we have to preach to you tonight is based upon those three facts, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. They are historical facts. There is no fact that we can be more certain of than the fact that the Lord Jesus came down to earth, that he lived, that he died, and indeed that he rose again. Our gospel is grounded on the solid facts of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And you know, it is appropriate that it is a sign, because there's nothing in the Bible, I think, that is better and more clearly testified in Old Testament prophecy than the fact that the Lord Jesus would die, that he would be buried, and that he would be raised again the third day. You know, there are something like 300. Men have tried to work out how many prophecies there are concerning the Lord Jesus coming, and there's something like, some claim something like 300 prophecies that have been fulfilled in the life and in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to attempt to prove that to you tonight. We'll leave that for your own study. But you can think of even something like the 22nd Psalm. And in that Psalm, you'll find something like 12 fulfilled prophecies in just one Psalm. There is nothing that has been more clearly testified by God that he would send his Son, that he would die, that he would pay the price of our sins, and that he would be raised again the third day. That is the answer that God gives to men who question the authority of Scripture. That is the answer that God gives to those who came and asked the Lord Jesus for a sign. It is the answer that God gives to man in all his intellect and his wisdom, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is that the Saviour says to these men, if you're looking for a sign, if you really want to know who I am, if you really want to be saved, then there is a sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now some will say, it says here he was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, and how does that square with what the Gospel says about the Lord Jesus? Well, the answer is quite simple. The answer is this, that in the Gospels and in Jewish reckoning, they use inclusive reckoning. A night and a day are considered one day. And when it comes to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews would count the day he was buried, the day he was in the grave, and the day he rose again as 3 days. His part is taken for the whole. And therefore we can say with confidence that these things are exactly fulfilled as they were given. And so the Lord Jesus says to them that no sign will be given except his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's all we need, of course. His death is the means by which God can make you and I right, can make or take away our sins. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the Lord Jesus, and he says this, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Isaiah 53 we read these words of a nation that have suddenly realized who the Lord Jesus is, and they say this, he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, as witnessed in the sign of Jonah, is what we need to make us right with God. The burial. Isaiah 53 tells us about the burial of the Lord Jesus. It says this, he was numbered with the transgressors, but he was with the rich in his death. A nice little picture of the fact that a rich man would be used to provide a tomb, a new tomb, for the Lord Jesus. And the psalmist says in Psalm 16 that thou would not permit thy Holy One to see corruption, but the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus says, if you're looking for a sign, if you want to know who I am, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ are a sign for you. But the Lord Jesus goes on and says to that generation in verse 41 that the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment against this generation and shall condemn it. It would be something like 850 years before the Lord Jesus that this man Jonah went to Nineveh and he preached. And I'm sure that even the children know that he warned them that within 40 days God would punish that city. So complete was their repentance, so complete was their turning around, so complete was their turning to God, that God postponed, God delayed judgment on that wicked city for something like 200 years. that generation who turned to God, who knew the mercy of God, who turned from their sins to serve the living God, would rise against that generation who saw the Lord Jesus face to face and rejected him. Verse 42 speaks about the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba. And we read about that lady who came, that very great journey. And what did she come for? She came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She came to hear the wisdom of perhaps one of the wisest men who ever lived. And when she saw him, she said, "Truly the half hath not been told." You know, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you will find that that is true of you, that the half has not been told of how great he is, how good he is, how loving he is, how kind he is, how forgiving he is. The Queen of Sheba said, "The half hath not been told." She says that, and the Lord Jesus said this, that she will rise up and condemn those who have heard the gospel and who have not believed it. The Lord Jesus says, "Behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Jonah, that failing servant, that servant who was used mightily, that servant who was used in a way that represented the Lord Jesus and brought 120,000 souls back to God. Tonight, the Lord Jesus asks, are you going to turn to him? Are you going to have your sins forgiven? Well, he said there were two signs, and briefly I would like to look at the second sign that is promised. And this is a sign that men will not be able to miss. They may have ignored, they may have denied, they may have said like they said about the Lord Jesus. You know, in Matthew chapter 27 we read that they remembered that the Lord Jesus was going to rise again, and they said, "This deceiver said he will rise after 3 days." You know, they didn't believe the sign of Jonah. But you know, when we come to the sign I'm about to look at, men will not be able to deny the truth of it. Men will not be able to do anything but just accept and just to wonder at the greatness. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30, "They shall see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. They shall see the sign, to see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory." But there's something I want to leave with you to think about on that sign. There's a generation, possibly not too far away, who are going to see the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. There's a generation, perhaps, who are alive today, and they will see the coming of the Son of Man. But you know, whereas the sign of Jonah was given that men might believe, was given that you might believe, was given that you might have salvation, that you might come to God for salvation, that you might repent, just as the men of Nineveh repented, turn from your sin and turn to Christ. The sign of coming of the Son of Man is altogether different for this reason. For when it comes, it will be too late. When it comes, it will be too late for men to turn to Christ. They'll mourn because he is coming in judgment. Or tonight, the sign of Jonah is given for you that you might believe on it, that you might believe on the Lord Jesus, that you might be saved. There is the coming of the Son of Man. And when he comes, the Bible says this about him, that he will come in vengeance, in flaming fire, and with vengeance on them who know not God and who obey not the gospel. Tonight I would appeal to you in the name of the Lord Jesus to believe on him, to turn to him for mercy, to find in him that he is greater than Solomon. He is greater in wisdom, but he's greater in grace and greater in love, greater in forgiveness. He is the one who went to Calvary's cross that you might be saved. All you have to do is put your faith in him. All you have to do is confess to him that you are a sinner for whom he died, and you will be saved. May God bless his word. Our Father, we bow before thee and we give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus. We have been thinking of solemn warnings that he gave to men. And our Father, we pray that each one in this room might challenge their own heart and see if they be trusting in the Lord Jesus. Our Father, we give thee thanks that we have the solid ground of the death, the burial and resurrection of Christ, as it provides us assurance for both time and eternity. And so, our Father, we ask for thy parting blessing. We ask that each one might leave this place knowing that they are saved, and saved by grace alone. We ask for thy blessing now, in our Saviour's name. Amen. I wonder if we could sing in closing hymn number 123. Hymn number 123. Come to the Saviour, make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Hymn number 123. Mm-hmm.